Hanging out with my boy, man, one of the top cats in the industry, Mr. Joe Wooten. What's up, Joe?
Man, what's up, Terry Ross? I'm having a good time hanging with you, man.
Well, I'm glad, man. Now, I'm not even going to ask you the obligatory questions like, how does it feel to be Victor Wooten's brother? Well, I'd like to get right to it. Hey, Joe in town with the Steve Miller Band. Now, Joe, give us a little insight on, like, back in the day, how you got the gig, what the gig entails, and what you need to do. What would another artist that you are mentoring maintain something like this?
Well, I got the gig, I was living in Nashville where I still live. I was doing a recording session for a writer that happened to be one of the co-writers of a couple of Steve Miller hits, Swing Town and Wild Mountain Honey. And at the time, Steve had just lost a keyboard player, needed one for the summer, and this person told me about the opening, gave me Steve's mailing address. I sent in a cassette tape and got the gig. That's the short version.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, you say, now, so you had to take it upon yourself to do this. It seems like nowadays musicians wait on, they just wait for things to come to them. They don't go out and hustle for themselves.
Right. Well, I was on the grind now because I got the gig in 93. I had just moved to Nashville in 1990. My wife and I had just gotten married in 1990, you know, had a baby 10 months later. So I'm in Nashville trying to make a living with the child, gigging here, gigging there, taking as many gigs as I could get. I wasn't living high on the hog at all. I was living sharing a house with my brother Reggie, Victor, and Roy. Rudy hadn't moved to Nashville yet. So, you know, the four of us were sharing a house, and my wife and I and my son had one room. And so I was gigging wherever I could and trying to be prepared for whatever comes along. I mean, if I had to advise anybody that's going to play music for a living, is don't just do one thing. If you want to be in the music business, learn to write, arrange, compose, produce, take the instrument apart, tech, teach, you know, so that if you want to stay in the business, in the music business is a large industry, so try to diversify yourself within the industry so you don't necessarily have to leave the industry to make a living. I was fortunate that I got the Steve Miller gig.
Now, do you have to have a special kind of wife or significant other to be a musician of this stature, though?
It sure helps. If you have kids, of course. I mean, like right now, I'm on the road, and you know, people are patting me on the back, telling me how good I am, et cetera, et cetera. And my wife has my two boys at home. She's working, two boys. They got to eat. School clothes are coming. You know, my oldest son's getting ready to go to college. My little one's getting ready to be a freshman. So while I'm out here, she has to take care of those things, and we still talk. We make sure that we talk at least once a day, twice a day. I mean, we're still connected, but if you have kids, it takes a significant other and an extraordinary significant other to make it work.
All right, now, if you revert back in your mind's eye and you go back to when you guys were first coming up as the Wooten Brothers, give us a little insight on you know, just, you know, people really want to know, like, man, how did they start? What did it feel like to be a part of a band at such an early age? You know,
it's ironic because I was watching YouTube the other day, going back and looking at old footage, young footage of the Jackson 5 when they were first starting to tour, and it felt so similar because it was different than like the Victory tours and things you see now. But I mean, they were like young and working hard, and I just remember that exact feeling of being young, playing in front of nightclubs, and just that spirit and that hard drive, you know. I mean, we started playing very young. Victor was 3, maybe 2. I was 5. If Victor was 3, that makes me 6. Rudy, Roy, and Reggie would be 9, 10, and 11. We started playing then, and by the time Victor was 6, we were starting to make money. You know, so it's just a fun way to grow up. It wasn't competitive. because we were all on different instruments. It was only competitive in the sense that you didn't want to be the one guy holding the band back because everybody was getting so good so fast. You know, seems to me it seems like my three older brothers were good right away. And when your little brother is Victor, it makes you practice. You know what I mean? You don't want like your little brother to just come and run circles around you. So it makes you practice.
So what is it that, like in like with my family? We're not musicians, but we just like a family of five brothers of hyenas, always at each other's throat. So how did, you know, being musicians and all that, how did everything stay in lockstep? You know, everybody got along and that type of thing.
Well, we weren't allowed to argue. So, you know, that wasn't a problem. But the music gave us focus. The music gave us focus.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean by that? I don't get it.
We weren't allowed to argue?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's one way of getting in trouble is to be arguing about something.
Ironing cord.
Yeah. Well, I don't think my mom ever used the ironing cord, but, you know, the threat of getting the spanking was almost more than actually having to get... Once you've gotten a couple, the threat of one is enough to make you not do what you're supposed to do. Enough to make you do what you're supposed to do. But we weren't allowed to just sit and debate points that were meaningless. My mom didn't let us do it because she knew the destruction that arguments can do, you know. So we got along anyway. And so there weren't very many arguments. There wouldn't have been very many anyway. But having music to play, we would know that the gig was coming on the weekend, and we knew there were new songs to learn. So we get together maybe at the dinner table, you know, or something. And I can remember, like in the 70s, you'd be sitting at the dinner table and go, you know, after Good Times goes off, you guys want to go practice? You know, so we'd watch TV and then go practice afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it was fortunate that we had a place to play.
So was it a singular dedication to it as far as a group-oriented practice? Everybody wanted to do it.
Everybody wanted to do it, yeah. Everybody wanted to do it. If you've ever been a part of a group that has a good night playing music, if you've ever been a part of it, you know how gratifying it is to just go out and just do well. Well, you can multiply that when you're doing it with your family.